That's just like when Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold her a piece of land. They said, let's sell our piece of land. Let's go down and tell the church we got 30 pieces of silver for it. We want to give it all to the Lord. We really got 50, but we ain't going to tell them that. Who do you think was with them? The Lord. So Ananias comes in and said, oh, Peter, Sapphira, now we sold our piece of land. We got 30 pieces of silver. We want to give it all to the Lord. Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, isn't that something that he knew standing right there? Who do you think told him? The Lord. Absolutely. That's right. The Lord. He said, that 30 pieces, that's not what they got for it. That's just part of what they got. He said, now tell Ananias, because he lied to me, I'm going to kill him. He just committed a sin unto death. Somebody said, God would never do something like this. Hey, have you not read the book of Acts? It's in the book. And so he said, you're going to die. And bam, he fell dead. And he said, three guys, y'all pick him up, take him out and bury him. 3 hours later, those same three guys had just finished burying him and come back in. And his wife come in and said, did you and Ananias, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell that piece of land for 30 pieces of silver? Yes, that's the price. We give it all to the church. Why have you and your husband decided to lie to God? Now, because you lied, as they buried your husband, they're going to bury you. And she fell dead. And they took her out. And it says, and great fear fell upon the church. I wonder what would happen if Sunday morning or whatever, you go to your church and the pastor said, today we're going to take up the tithes and offerings. Now, everybody's required to give a tithe. Is that true? Yes, that's true. Okay, so here's the bucket up here. Now, everybody comes up and you put your tithe in, and if you got an offering on top of that, that's good, because God says give your tithes and offerings. It's okay, so you come up and you drop your envelope in there and you turn around and you go over here and sit down on the seat, and this lady gets up and she comes up here and she drops hers in here. She goes back and sits down, and then this gentleman right here, he gets up and he comes up and he puts his in there, and then I'm sitting over here and I get up and I come up there and I drop mine in and turn around and take one step and somebody comes up and says, hey, he's dead. He must have just had a heart attack. Well, if I was the pastor, I'd say, well, okay, y'all haul him out next. Who's going to put their tithe in next? I guarantee, if you saw one drop dead, and if you said, that's my tithe, you'd be sure it was your tithe, right? I mean, if God was to do us like he did back in the First Testament, Old Testament, I mean, in the New Testament, the first beginning, would it change some of us? But see, he really is doing that. We just don't understand what's happening. We do not understand why we're sick and afflicted and we have all these problems with our children and everything else, and it's because of our disobedience. And we just don't see it. Isn't it a good thing God's merciful to us today? Because he does require a tithe. But he requires us to come to church too. He requires us to study the Word too. But we don't do a lot of those things. And he's still merciful and still blesses us to a degree. But not like he would if we'd done everything right. Okay, let's go on down to verse 5 through 13. We'll see another one. When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain. Now, that sounds like cerebral palsy to me. And let's see what verse 7. Then Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now, what is it Jesus, you see here Jesus didn't say, I'll wait till next week, right? We're going to have a board meeting with the elders 2.5 weeks from now, and we'll discuss whether we're going to come heal you or not. Do you know there's churches that'll tell you that? You go in and tell the pastor you want to be anointed with oil, and they say, well, we've got a deacon's meeting in 2 weeks. We'll discuss it at the deacon's meeting, and we'll see if we decide to do it, and if we all decide, then we'll let you be anointed with oil and prayed over. Is that sad or is that sad? Sad and terrible. But that happens. I've seen that. I've had people tell me that many times. Then the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. If you will just say the word from where you are, my servant will be healed. Look at this. You say the word from where you are. That means he doesn't have to be there to heal people. Wow. And let's see what verse 9 and 10 says there then. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves do this or that, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And this guy's a Roman. He's a soldier. He said, if you just speak that word, I know my servant will be healed. Wow, what faith you have. Is that the way we should be? Absolutely. Jesus said it. We ought to stand on these promises, no doubt, right? We ought to just be able to stand on these promises of God and see him do these great and wonderful things. Wow, verse 11 and 12. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, I don't want to be one of those, do you? No way. Verse 13 and 14. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go on home. Now, this next line is very, very important. What you have believed has happened. Meditate on that. When you are prayed for, what are you going to say? I hope I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Like your cousin. When I prayed for her, I told her, I said, honey, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart that your eyes are fixed now. And I prayed for her, and she says, I still can't see any better than I could. I said, you start home, and you praise him and worship him all the way home that you can see perfect. And she told me when I was out there at Ballinger, just before she got home, her eyes were fixed. Isn't that awesome? Is God awesome or is he awesome? I mean, we serve an awesome king. As you have believed, what do you believe? See, I believe I'm healed all the time. Amen. So somebody say, you know, I've had lots of people tell me, oh, Thurman, you know you're going to be sick. I said, not on your life. I believe I'm healed. I believe the King paid that price on that cross for me. And as long as I believe that in my heart, I don't ever have to be sick again. Amen. I don't care what comes upon me. I don't care what tries to put itself upon me. I'm going to get out of bed in the morning, put on my clothes, and I'm going to work. I don't care what's happening. Amen. Because sick people stay in bed. Well people get up and go do something. Right. And I'm well. Amen. And who knows? I may have a little symptom for an hour or two, and then it goes away. That devil says, you know, I just can't beat this guy. He knows his authority over me. The young servant was healed that same hour. So when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was in the bed with a high fever. Oh, my goodness gracious, let's give you a couple of aspirins, honey. Let's get a nice cold glass of water, and let's put a cool towel on your forehead, and let's give you a couple of aspirins. Is that what we do? Something like that, right? Let me go to the medicine cabinet, see if I can find anything in the medicine cabinet. We've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Guess who don't have a medicine cabinet? I don't have one. You don't have one. You shouldn't have one. And let's see what verse 15 and 16 says. When Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. Just think, if she's sick, she's got a fever, got a headache, what do? In the name of Jesus, just touch him. In Jesus' name. You don't even have to pray. You do not have to pray. Did you ever see where Jesus prayed for him? What did Jesus say? What did he say? Be healed. Is that what he said? Did it work? Did Jesus say you and me could do the same things he did? Yes. All we got to do is say, be healed. Or just touch. Just like he reached over and touched her hand. Touched her and in the name. Of course, we do it in the name of Jesus, right? Be healed. Or I command you to leave. That pain, I command that pain to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And it has to go away if you're believing in faith and you're walking obedient to his word. When he commanded them to leave, all the spirits fled when he commanded them to leave. Well, that's first of all. When Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for them. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Many. Well, it hadn't changed much. We still got these same demons today. They're still around. They're living inside of our bodies because of sin. Many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and the spirits fled when he commanded them to leave, and he healed all the sick. Has he ever changed? Does he still want to heal all? Yes. What does he want us to do? What's our part? repent of sin and have somebody touch us in faith and somebody command those foul spirits to leave in faith, right? Whenever you command those spirits to leave in faith, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, what do those spirits have to do? They have to leave. Now, that sounds kind of strange. It's amazing the first time you do this somewhere, and especially when you're in a restaurant like I was with that woman with 2,823 demons in her, you ought to have seen that. That was the fact that that owner of that hotel and restaurant and everything, he come down there after a couple of hours and said, "You guys have got to leave." He said, "You're running off all my customers." He said, "You know," he said, "people said even some of my help at the front desk is wanting to go home, but they're hearing this woman scream." And he said, "Y'all are going to have to leave." I said, "Well, what if we take her up to my room?" He said, "That's okay. Just get her out of here." He wanted her out because that one time, whenever that woman threw herself across the floor like that, after she threw across and I commanded those demons to leave, when I got up off of her, she appeared to be normal. And I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm fine." So I help her up. She gets up, and of course, I'm walking back toward the table. I'm kind of watching her, and I get over near. Look, I look to see how close I was to the table, and just as I look and I turn back around, she is airborne with both feet coming straight at me. I turned sideways like this. She went right by me like this and fell on the floor, hit there. And so I jumped down on top of her again, held her down. Can you imagine this? You're trying to. This little woman, what do you think that little woman weighed, honey, 120 or 30 pounds? Yeah, she was a little bitty woman, but when she kicked me in the side and fell on the floor on her back, I throwed myself right on top of her. I've got my knee on her shoulder, and I've got my hand in her hair, and I've got my other hand holding her down over here, and all of a sudden that demon spoke. I said, "You're going to kill her." I said, "If I kill her, then you won't be able to be in there." So I said, "I'm going to knock you out in the name of Jesus." What a day. And that woman didn't even have a bruise on her after she got healed and delivered. There was not a bruise or nothing, not even a sore spot on her body. How does God do those kind of things? What a God we serve. That little lady was totally delivered and totally healed. And I think, wow, what a day we had. But I mean, we all learned a great lesson that day. I am a faith God. And when you believe it's done, that's when it's done.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, "God Will Command the Blessings to Overtake You," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.